Well, joining me now to discuss this interesting phenomena is Michael Wheeler, a PhD candidate in exercise physiology at Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute. Thank you for coming on the program, Michael.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Michael, can you explain just this idea about, first of all, how the brain gets its energy and how the impact of sitting might affect this?
Yeah. So we've written an article that people can find on the Conversation website about this idea, which is essentially that sitting is something that can affect our glucose levels, and that this in turn might have an impact on our brain health. Because we know that the brain is heavily reliant on glucose as a fuel, but that it's also heavily reliant on a glucose supply that keeps glucose within an optimal concentration range. So that if glucose levels fall outside that optimal concentration range, that can have negative effects on brain health.
Okay, and how much sitting is too much sitting, to ask what might seem like a silly question?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an important question, I think. There was a recent study that came out in the Lancet that shed some light on that, kind of showing that to offset the increased mortality risk associated with 8 hours a day of sitting, that 60 to 75 minutes of moderate to vigorous intensity exercise would need to be performed. So that's actually quite a lot of exercise. So we can kind of imagine that if we're going to be getting up to 8 hours a day of sitting, that it's actually going to be quite hard to completely offset the risk of that. I'd say to try and keep it below that, but it's the big question: what is a safe amount of sitting?
Indeed. Now, I just want to ask you, because this is quite an odd thing, the idea that sitting, something that's so natural in terms of human activity, it's innate in our nature. It's one of the first things we learn. We often know how to sit down before we can speak our first words. So I just wonder, what are the actual things that people can do to, other than vigorous exercise? A lot of people might be sitting down in their workplace and it's part of their job to sit down. Does it mean that we need kind of workplace reform in terms of what our workplaces look like? And what can be done to kind of combat the issues that arise from sitting down for extended periods of time?
Yeah, I think an important point is that to kind of have a bit more of a nuanced kind of idea that it's not that, all sitting is bad. It's obviously something that comes naturally to us. But I think it's important to keep in mind that prolonged periods of sitting, especially after eating a meal, is going to be the situation in which glucose levels are likely to, fall outside that optimal range. So, as a message, I think to engage in light intensity activities like walking, kind of just ambulating, moving around, anything that's going to be contracting our muscles after we've eaten a meal is going to be important in keeping that glucose in the optimal range.
Okay.
And I think there's the benefits of kind of light intensity activity like that is there's lots of opportunities to do that kind of activity throughout the day, and it can be kind of built in naturally as we move through the day.
Now, some people are throwing around this phrase of could sitting be the new smoking? Is that even comparable?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's not really any place for even one cigarette in a healthy diet, or someone who's health conscious, but there is a place for some amount of sitting. So I think they're comparing them, isn't strictly accurate. It's
and not particularly helpful either, by the sound of it. So yeah. In terms of policy, do we need to see a bit more infrastructure in place to kind of foster these ideas that trying to get people a bit more active in terms of having more bike lanes on roads or walking options for transport? Places like Sydney are not providing enough in terms of options for physical activity?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you know, with light intensity physical activity, you know, there's lots of opportunity to engineer the environment around us to, you know, make it more conducive, making stairs more accessible, having bike lanes, things like that can have a big impact on population health, because it's physical changes like that that can actually, potentially change the behavior of lots and lots of people.
Okay, and if you're tuning in now, it's 2SCR 107.3. My guest is Michael Wheeler. We're talking about sitting and how if conducted for elongated periods of time and excessive amounts, it can actually be bad for our brain. Now, my guest is a PhD candidate, Michael Wheeler, from the exercise, he's doing a PhD in exercise physiology at Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute. I just ask about sleeping now, in terms of the postures we take there. Is there any link at all between lying down and sleeping, where our muscles are relaxed and our body is relaxed? Are there any chances that that's going to have any negative impact on our ability to produce glucose, or is it something that could also be something that is done too much, like with sitting?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because, you know, obviously we're not moving around when we're sleeping, but sleeping is important for health and for brain health. And I think the key is that there's an optimal amount of sleep, and that if we get less than that, or if we get more than that, that's not good for health. If people are, you know, staying in bed, for half the day, that's not going to be optimal. So I think generally it's about 8 hours that people need to get. But then again, everyone's different, and we need to sleep to kind of clear the brain of kind of accumulated, toxins and things that can build up throughout the day, it's a question of, you know, finding the optimal amount of sleep.
As always, balance seems to be the perfect solution. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, soon to be Dr. Wheeler, I dare say.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic.
I haven't got my PhD yet.